everyone. Jim Phoenix here, and welcome to the last episode of Fuck If I Know. I know that's not a real joke, but it's Invite Me In, the Buffy the Vampire Season 1 finale series thingamajigger. For those who are brand new to the show, what the fuck are you doing, man? This is the last show. Start up, rewind, just stop right now, go back to episode 1, press play. You should know the premise by now. And without any other further ado, I'm announcing my special guest, or co-host, what are they called now? The co-special guest is going to be Xander. Say hi.
Hello.
Trav, say hello.
Hello.
Just say what's up.
Hey.
All right. And with that being said, the guy who knows nothing at all about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, other than Luke Perry was in it, I think. I'm shutting the hell up.
He was in the movie.
Oh, there's a TV show?
No, the Buffy movie, he was in the movie.
Right, but that means there's a TV show too, right?
Well, yeah, we're talking about the TV show, not the movie, but Luke Perry was
in the
movie.
We've been talking about the TV show for the last 11 fucking episodes? Are you kidding me? I thought there's like some kind of extended cut movie out there. I was missing.
It's a really long movie, yeah. Director's cut.
But and yet, it is shorter than the Jack Schneider Justice League, which somehow mixed opinions on that one. All right, so what's this episode called? This is episode 12, right?
Yes, it's called Prophecy Girl.
Ooh, I like that movie. Or that's not about the movie Prophecy, is it? No, Christopher Walken. No, damn it. All right, so how does it open? Why is it Prophecy Girl?
We start off with a cold open in the Bronze. Xander is practicing his confession of love to Willow, who clearly seems to think is living in her own fantasy world that this is a confession to her. But what Xander's doing is he wants to ask Buffy to the school dance.
But Buffy, there's still a school dance?
Yeah.
There's like 12 people dead this year. How the fuck is there school dance?
There's more than that.
It's Sunnydale. It's fine.
Oh my God.
life in the Hellmouth.
Okay.
Buffy is in the graveyard. She's fighting. We see Cordelia and a boy in a car making out.
Oh. Right.
Buffy has killed 3 vampires in a single night, and she's a little bit concerned about that. Giles himself is concerned because he's reading the codex that Angel had brought to him. And there's a prophecy in it that says the master shall rise and the slayer shall. And then he just says, my gold. Then we get a Jurassic Park-esque earthquake. And the master is just absolutely euphoric.
So,
summary of the cold open.
Is that the original Jurassic Park or like the new ones? Is Chris Pratt in this one?
No, I'm thinking OG, like with the, you know, you've got the glass and you see the, you know, the ripples in the water. Yeah.
Awesome sauce. Oh, it's not bad for open. I like it. I dig it. I like and dig it. I don't know what's going to happen because I haven't seen it. And so for my own sake, I'm putting bets down because you guys have all seen it at least once. I'm going to put that bets down. I don't think the master's going to win. That's just it. That's just my bet right now. I bet the master's going to turn out to be Rebel Delgado. And then he's going to turn into Eric Roberts. Yeah. Oh, that's a Doctor Who joke. I'm so sorry. No. Okay.
Okay, that's why I didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's fine. So there's a character called the Master, and I think that's kind of, I'm not saying Buffy ripped anything off, but they ripped it off.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we get guitars, fun, opening.
Opening, like our awesome guitarless, because Neil Diamond broke his damn hand. He was shredding so much. He broke his hand recording for us. I feel so bad. He always did a live one every show, and now I probably have to remove all those. Just because it's too painful for him. It's too painful for him, yeah. So this one's got the guitar. Oh, cool, Buffy, whatever. Intros.
So in the library, Giles is being kind of weird to Buffy. But Buffy's trying
Wait. Weirder than an old dude like hitting on her the entire time?
He's not hitting on her, Jesus.
Yeah.
No, Xander's the one hitting on her.
Yeah.
But okay.
Giles has just been in a bunch of questionable positions, like hanging out with high schoolers after school.
Thank you.
And doing taekwondo practice in the library.
But yeah, he's never actually hit on any of them. I'll give him that.
Okay, he just goes to their nightclub and watches them for a bit. Okay, just.
Apparently a lot of adults frequent it too, so I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that place is, honestly.
A convenient set piece.
Yeah, that's pretty much
That's what it is.
That was the title of my sex tip. No, okay. go on.
Buffy said that there's been a lot of close calls and things are getting hairy. She can sense that something weird is going on. I don't know if our dog is coming through in the background.
No.
Okay. Out in like the courtyard quad area of the school, Xander tries to get Buffy alone. He's also being weird. Buffy's just having a weird day with the men in her life. He asks her out. And Buffy's like, you know, she's just like, hey, we're really good friends and I don't want to spoil it. I don't feel the same way as you. And
we've all been there, right, guys?
Putting out a big matzo ball.
Like, I mean, he shot his shot and she was honest and she was, you know, nice about it. I don't really think there's any bad guys in this situation until Xander is all, try to feel that way about me.
Oh, no.
He's like, oh, so you don't want to hang out with me because I'm not a 200-year-old dead vampire?
Yeah, he kind of nice guys her.
Yeah. M'lady.
Although that's a step up from rape.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, his creep. So he's getting
If I have to choose between Piss Baby Xander and Hyena Xander, I'm going to go with Piss Baby Xander.
Right?
And honestly, if you're going to watch this show, you kind of have to accept Piss Baby Xander.
Does he continue to be like this? I feel like
he grows. Okay. He matures a lot. But actually, he reverts at a lot of points, too.
If you look on his birth certificate, his middle name is actually Piss Baby.
Yeah.
I did that. I looked at it. And it was true. So he doesn't take rejection overly well, ultimately.
No.
I mean, I know you haven't watched the show at all, but surely from hearing us discuss the first 11 episodes, you've caught on that Xander Harris is not the most mature person in the world at this point.
No. But was he doing... Okay. One time he's riding a skateboard. One time he's... What's he doing that's like he will never do again in this episode?
You know, I can't answer that question. I don't know.
I already said he's a piss baby and he's going to be a piss baby again.
Is he kind of steps up in this episode though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe stepping up would be the only thing he'll ever
do. I mean, he steps up again in the series. I think this is the beginning of consistent character arcs for Xander.
I don't remember this, but I remember he... one of my notes says he's a big country music guy. Oh, that's because he's sad and he's listening to country music.
Yeah. I don't think we hear him listen to country music again.
There you go.
That's the thing he tries this episode.
Always has to be something.
Because that one episode he's rocking out on a guitar during his fantasy. This time he's big into country music. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we solved that. in the library, Jenny Callender calls out to Giles. She knows about the signs of the apocalypse. Monk emailed her about prophecy and the anointed one.
Right.
So she's kind of in on the knowledge with that. In the hallway, we see Kevin is getting stuff ready for the dance and Cordelia asks Willow for help connecting the sound system. So Will is going to show up early the next morning to help with all of that. In the classroom, Xander is complaining to Willow. He asks her to the dance. He's like, well, Buffy won't go with me. Do you want to go with me? And you know what? I fucking love Willow's character growth in this season where she just stands up for herself. We saw that in iRobot Eugene. And then here, like, she takes it a step further because even though she wants Xander to ask her out, she wants him to want to ask her out.
Yeah,
not
she doesn't
want to
be second.
Yeah, she was like, no, I'm not going to be here every time you're rejected for you to pick up the pieces. That's shitty to me.
So she's Hermione.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't think that one through.
I think like, was it Goblet of Fire or whatever it is?
Yeah. I have not seen all of the Harry Potter movies, so that one is also awesome.
No, you've seen Goblet of Fire.
Have
I? I've seen one.
I think we fell asleep during Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
I've seen one movie. We need to pick up there.
Who rejects her?
Ron. Like there's a whole thing with Hermione and Ron, and she conjures birds to attack him. It's honestly awesome. I don't remember any of this.
Yeah,
Victor Crumb asks her to the ball, and everybody's like, "What? No way! Victor Crumb likes a nerd."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm very proud of Willow in this scene here. I mean, she doesn't necessarily call for birds to attack Xander.
Not yet.
I mean, I know that she. I don't know if we're. I'm supposed to know this yet, since I haven't watched it, but she does get some powers in future episodes.
What, really?
Yeah, she does.
Holy shit, I was just guessing about that. Okay, cool.
Travis has seen one season six episode.
Yeah.
He got me the signed copy of the Once More With Feeling script.
Aww.
So for our anniversary, so we watched it. So I gave him minimal backstory on everybody, just enough for him to understand the episode. So.
Yeah, so...
But it's heavy on the magic with that one.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that one. That one sounds very cool.
It is.
So we do have Willow standing up for herself saying, "No, I am not yours." Almost a sloppy seconds, but it's kind of different.
Yeah. It's,
I'm guessing.
Yeah. You're not my sloppy seconds rejected something. I don't know.
Yeah. No one's ever asked me out.
Consolation prize. It only took four of us 5 minutes to figure out the word. Okay. So in the library, Buffy wants to tell Giles about some incident with like there was bloody water in the school bathroom or whatever. And she went to go wash her hands. But she overhears Giles tell Angel that the Codex says tomorrow she's going to face the master and die. And this is honestly...
Spoiler alert.
Sarah Michelle Gellar's best acting in the whole first season.
Really?
Yes. She starts laughing hysterically. And then she kind of starts talking about, what's going to happen to the next Slayer? Is are you going to be her watcher? Is a new watcher going to come in? Do you think it'll hurt when I die? She asks if Giles is planning on telling her at all. And he says he was looking for a way around it. And she says, "I quit."
Wow.
"I quit. I'm not the Slayer anymore. I'm not doing it." And they're like, "Well, Buffy, you can't quit." And she, seriously, I get chills just thinking about this line. She says, "Giles, I'm 16. I don't want to die."
Yeah, it kind of puts it all into perspective that, you're watching a high schooler.
Yeah.
It also falls back on that whole thing about, people have asked this question before. Do you want to know when you die or not?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be a surprise or do you want to know, like, hey, you're going to die, this month, this day, this year? Do you really want to know that?
And because of that, I don't really blame Giles for not really breaking the news to her because how do you do that?
Well, I mean, he's trying to find a way around it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was in such an enviable position. You don't want, you never want to be that guy that's like, hey, I know you're trying to save the world and you're 16 and prom's coming up, but, yeah, you're going to die.
You might want to.
And there's nothing we can do to stop it.
So.
Yeah, just don't pay for the dress in front. That's what I'm saying. But, this is a good question, though. Do you guys want to know when you die?
Nope.
No.
No.
Really? I'm the only one.
Do you want to know when you die?
Hell yeah, because think about this. All the things in between, if it's like a sure death, and it's like 5 years from now, think of all the shit I could do between now and then.
Then that's the thing, though, is then I would constantly be comparing myself to what is my full potential, I feel like I would burn myself out.
Hell yeah. That's what you want to do, though. You want to burn yourself out. Like, I'm living my lifetime and say I die in 5 years. It's going down in 5 years. Savings, all of that out the window. I'm just.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, fuck me, right?
Hey, man, I've got death insurance, so you'll be okay. You'll be set. They don't know how I die. I don't know yet.
But that's the Cyclops's. Okay, not to bring in that. That was actually from Sword and Sorcery, a movie long time ago. They had a Cyclops. No, wait, that's not Sword and Sorcery. It's Krull. motherfucker. So that's Krull, the legend of Krull. The Cyclops had two eyes, and they're like, I want to see the future. They're like, fine, give me an eye.
Is he really a Cyclops if he has two eyes?
They start off as having two eyes.
So he becomes a Cyclops.
And they become Cyclops.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were like, so there's a Cyclops that has two eyes.
Yes. Oh, there is. There's a Cyclops with two eyes. But that was their price. They wanted to see the future, and they only could see the moment of their death. So they were cursed that way instead. And I always thought, like, well, maybe it's not a curse, man. I don't know. All right. So apparently some people think it's a curse. Whatever. So she's 16. And she's going to maybe prom or not, depending.
Yeah. So she had that whole emotional thing. She said she quits because she doesn't want to die. Meanwhile, Willow tries to call Xander. She still tries to be a good friend to him after, you know, giving him time to reflect on him being a bad friend. But he hangs up on her because he's got to listen to his country music.
Gosh, Mom, it's just a phase. You don't understand what I'm going through.
Country phase, yeah.
The Summers household, Joyce tries talking to Buffy, but Buffy's like, hey, let's take a weekend away. Just the two of us. We'll have fun. Let's get out of town. Joyce is like, but the gallery's going to be open this weekend. I have to be there. Are you going to the dance? I got you this really pretty dress I saw you looking at. And Buffy's like, we can't afford this. And she's like, well, you've barely been eating. This was this week's grocery money.
Oh, well. Wow. Way to give her a complex there, Mom. Thanks. You usually eat a ton of fucking food, man. Holy shit.
It's all right, sweetie. Go ahead. I got the dress for you. It's not like you're going to die before you can wear it or anything.
I mean, think about it, though. She probably does eat a ton. She's super active. She probably needs like a high calorie diet to keep up with everything she does.
And you know what she also does? She mixes, you know,
do not bring in your nightmare recipe. I just ate lunch. Don't need to hear that again.
No, yeah. It was just chunky.
This kind of falls with me. Like, I'm always fascinated. Like, if you watch what, like, athletes eat or people that have, like, high-calorie diets, like, I love watching videos where they just show, like, the amount of food they put away.
Yeah, it's
a lot of
food. Especially The Rock.
The Rock is insane. I worked with somebody who is, like, a competitive bodybuilder. And he, like, I watched him eat an entire loaf of raisin cinnamon bread on break one time. Like, it was just insane.
Was it sliced or did he just, like, eat it whole?
I think it was sliced. Okay.
There was just, like, just, like, yeah, just the one I remember job. Was there's this I read an article about what Michael Phelps would eat when he was in, like, prime, like, training mode.
7,000 calories a day, right?
It's ridiculous. One of my favorite videos to watch, and I show this to people whenever I can. It's you know, a handful of years old. It was from Complex, the website magazine or whatever. They had a guy that he looked like he was in decent shape. He went to the gym, whatever. He had to eat what The Rock ate in a day.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, here's your meal. Oh, here. First, we're starting out with 8 ounces of cod. And here's all the stuff that goes with it. Oh, and about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, here's more food. Oh, by the way, here's a steak. He honestly couldn't finish it because I think it came out to something like 9 or 10 pounds of food.
Think about them rock poops.
Yeah, I know. Well,
his cheat days are just as crazy if you ever watch his cheat days.
Probably like as big as he is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we should probably move.
Sponsored by
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne. My president. Okay.
Yes.
So we cut to the school the next morning. Kevin didn't bring the equipment to the bronze. So Cordy and Willow go to the school. Cordy's like, she's kind of gushing a little bit. She's like, I'm not even mad. He's just so cute. And her and Willow have this weird little bonding moment. I guess, you know, facing death a few times together can cross even those types of boundaries. Unfortunately, when they get to the AV room, they find everybody just slaughtered.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed at the scene. I didn't expect to see like this much of a set piece of death right there.
Yeah, considering this was, you know, network television in the late 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I you know, bravo, like kudos. Like,
yeah,
it was impressive and it threw me off.
Yeah, you know, and I like why they did that. It was showing the stakes of the gravity. People are starting to understand the people in the know are starting to understand the gravity of the situation. That's like, look, this is not just a freak of the week episode. This is, you know, because like we've mentioned throughout the season, this was basically, they didn't know if they were going to get a season two. So that's like, we're going to make this. If this is the last episode, we're going to make sure that it feels like a last episode.
Yeah.
We cut to Willow's room. Buffy's talking to her, and Willow's just talking about how she doesn't feel safe. Like, you know, she knows Sunnydale isn't necessarily a safe place, and she's seen a lot of death and stuff since Buffy came into her life. You know, but this is different because the AV room was a space where she felt safe and comfortable. It was her own element. You know, it's kind of like a home away from home aspect. Buffy makes her promise to stay in that night. In the library, we learn that the master is trying to open the Hellmouth. A monk sent one last message that the Anointed One is... I do not know what this word is. A kid.
Oh,
well, that's good.
Yeah, that's right. There's a little tiny boy.
Yeah. Tiny boy. Baby boy.
Berries and cream. I'm a lad that likes berries and cream.
No, I was going to an It's Always Sunny place.
I've never seen that.
Oh.
It's like it's season 18 as well, I think.
That's just renewed for up to 18. They're on season 15 right now.
Oh, I was just making that shirt up. Oh, okay. I also won the lottery today. If I'm making shirt up, I might as well go big, man.
Hey, you're actually doing pretty well. You guessed Willow's whole future and not that, so yeah. Keep it up.
I just watched the Dayman Nightman episode the other day.
That's the best episode.
It's up there.
Oh, wait, the Nightman Cometh? Or
yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's the one. That's what I was referencing. The tiny boy,
yeah,
baby boy.
I've already decided I'm going as. We were talking about this for Halloween next year. Me and my friends are going to go as. I'm trying to convince them to go as the Birds of War.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I want to go as the garbage man. I'm the trash man.
Yeah.
I eat trash. I throw trash at people. Like, I already got the belly. I just need the Frank wig and a singlet, and I could play the garbage man.
There's a brewery in town that on St. Patrick's Day likes to do an It's Always Sunny theme, and they used to do a costume contest with it too. And all the bartenders dressed as the Eagles of War.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Okay. So Giles is planning to go face the master. He doesn't want to send Buffy out, but Buffy appears looking hot. May I add,
she put on
the white dress with a leather jacket over top.
Nice.
It's amazing. It's an iconic look.
Can we also give her props for, not only does she look amazing, that, and you know, during this whole thing, you know, the whole climactic thing, she, I mean, instead of doing some kind of like sensible shoes or boots, my girl is whooping everybody's ass in full on heels.
Oh yeah. No, it's a thing throughout the whole series, and
like,
she talks.
It's like she's Bryce like, Dallas Howard in Jurassic World. How is she doing this with ankles still left?
She's doing it in style, but also like the fact if you're getting stomped with heels, like that shit's gonna hurt extra. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen Boogie Nights. I know what happened with Roller Girl.
I have not, and I don't want to.
It's actually a really good movie. No, she stomps a dude out with roller skates.
Gross.
It's a great movie. Bobby fantastic does? Movie. No, oh. No. We're talking about Boogie Nights, Roller Girl and Boogie Nights.
It's a crossover. Oh. The crossover episode.
I don't know if that crossover could happen.
Yeah, that would probably be...
Boogie Nights is an amazing movie, by the way.
I know what it's about. It's about like sex workers or porno
stuff. It was basically right? Mark Wahlberg plays not John Holmes.
But you know what it's not about? Buffy.
Yeah, true.
So Buffy and Giles argue about her going out, and eventually she just we get the Giles pwn count for this episode. She knocks him out.
I don't understand why she has to knock him out though. She like he's not going to be capable of holding her back if she wants to leave.
I mean, he could literally hold her back though by tagging along. like slowing her down, making her mission harder.
Just lock them up in the cage in there. They have bars in the library, like throw them in there.
But it makes sense why she did it. Because this, you know, you finally realize that she understands that she's going to die.
Yeah.
And if she's going to die, none of her friends or none of the people that's important to her, she's going to make sure they're okay. If she's going to go, she's going to make sure all the important people in her life are okay. So I get why she did it. It makes 100% sense.
I guess.
So when she goes outside, she sees the anointed one and she says she knows who he is and she lets him lead her to the master. In the library, Will and Xander get caught up. Everybody argues over stopping the apocalypse versus helping Buffy. I don't know what this note means. I just wrote same good question mark, question mark, question mark. It was a while ago that we watched this episode, so I do not remember what that note means. I think I was making the point that it's basically the same thing because Buffy is stopping the apocalypse by going down there and they could be helping her fight the master.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's what I meant by that. Xander says he's going to go get Angel. They're trying to figure out where the Hellmouth is going while everybody else tries to figure out where exactly the Hellmouth will be opening up. Underground, Buffy has a crossbow. She shoots at the master. The master catches the bow.
Oh.
Or arrow. Whatever.
She throws the bow at him. Yeah. She doesn't shoot a bow.
She keeps the arrow, but she just throws the entire crossbow at him.
Like exactly, yeah, she does it backwards. Like she holds the arrow and launches the crossbow
it's
at him.
It's a power
him.
Move.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I just went blank.
You got it.
Exactly. Well said.
Well, it's just like Kevin in The Office. Why speak lot word when few word do trick?
Xander and Angel are going to where Buffy is and they're arguing like an old married couple.
How did he even know where Angel lives? Does Angel have a house?
Vampires typically live in crypts.
And so, but he has a house, right?
No, he lives in like a crypt type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Never mind. Let's move on.
Plus, Angel was just probably hanging out in the shadows. Let's be real. That's what he do.
I'm surprised he wasn't hanging out at the library already.
I mean, they only named a show about vampires friends. What we do in the shadows. I mean.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I've yet to watch it. I heard that show's amazing.
Xander would be the energy vampire.
You think so?
I've heard that movie. The movie and the show are good. I haven't watched them yet.
We've watched the movie. I haven't seen a ton of the show.
Nah.
I heard the show's fantastic from what I hear.
All right. So, but yeah, I love the various scenes whenever we get Xander and Angel together because that, I don't know.
Could be like a whole spinoff.
They crack me up. Yeah.
They remind me of Foghorn Leghorn and then what was that little Henry Hawk?
Oh, yeah.
Like Xander's the little tiny bird. Let me at him. Foghorn's like, yeah, cute. You're cute, son.
Oh. In the library, they remember that the Harvest way back at the beginning of the season was at the Bronze. So Jenny Calendar and Willow decide they're going to go warn everybody. Because they're worried, you know, about vampires attacking the Bronze while Giles is going to continue researching. But then when Jenny and Willow get out to the parking lot, there's a big group of vampires just swarming the parking lot. Underground, the master reveals that if Buffy hadn't come, he wouldn't be able to get free. She's what frees him. He's like, that's the tricky thing about prophecies. They don't give you the full picture. So this is kind of one of those that it's like an actual self-fulfilling prophecy.
Like they kind of just put it out there and she's like, fuck it, I might as well just do it. And then it's like, well, you didn't really have to do this.
Yeah. Kind of coming back to the whole Harry Potter thing again. About the prophecy and basically it was all Snape's fault that it was Harry.
Damn right.
But yeah, so so vampires can like very, very powerful ones can kind of like hypnotize, mesmerize, whatever people. And Buffy is slightly being affected by this. And while she's affected, the master bites her and drops her face first in water.
Oh,
Xander and Angel find her, and she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But Xander tries CPR. Angel doesn't have any breath, so he cannot. He cannot.
Sure does a lot of breathing for somebody that doesn't have any breath.
Is he doing just blend in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just, you know, I just move. That's why his stomach's so jacked, because if I just move my abs in and out, people think they're breathing. And then when I take my shirt off, they're like, damn, son.
Like, chill
it's
out,
literally
man.
Just him doing crunches the entire time. Yeah, it's like, all he's doing.
What's your workout secret? I don't really breathe.
Yeah, I pretend to breathe. So I do 15,000 crunches a day. It works. I mean, and apparently David Boreanaz is still doing 15,000 crunches a day, because once again, apparently he's a vampire, because he's another one of the cast members that still looks the same like 30 years later.
Well, that does help to have, like, you know, that's his job.
If he looks like that now, I'm going to start doing 15,000 crunches a day. Good God.
It's his job to look fine.
Are you breathing? No, I'm
bones,
good.
Bitch.
It's the Angel workout. What is it? Crunches and
breathing.
That's it. Just crunches.
That was Herschel Walker for a long time. He just do crunches all day, man. That's it.
So Xavier actually does CPR here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Xander does CPR. Back at the school, Cordelia pulls up in her car just in time. She picks up Jenny and Willow, and she drives into the school.
See, this is that face turn that I was talking about at the beginning, that I was like, oh, this is so cool, because you could tell throughout the entire season that there was something in Cordelia, that she wasn't just completely heartless.
I love Cordelia.
It was a very... It kind of happened throughout the season. It kind of, I don't know, there were times where it didn't make sense, because she started off so cold in the very beginning, and then she like suddenly warms up out of nowhere.
I think she's kind of trauma bonded to the Scooby gang.
I don't know.
In a way.
Maybe, I guess.
She's been through a lot through this season, too.
It was nice seeing her have more action this episode, though. Like, I'm finally getting the whole Cordelia thing in this episode. Yeah. But yeah, beforehand, it was all kind of like, really? Like, why?
You know,
I don't get
the Invisible Girl and... Oh, what else? You know, besides, you know, the episode of the Invisible Girl. And she's been through some shit, too. So she's like, you know, if anybody in the school gets what she's gone through, because she's been with him through some of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not entirely out of left field.
Yeah. Now I'm going to mention something. Xander, you use a wrestling term when you call him the face turn.
Yeah, face turn.
Yeah,
I'm a big wrestling fan, and I actually trained in it for a little bit too.
Cool. For those who don't know wrestling, pro wrestling, you have faces, heels, and tweeters. And the face turn is when the bad guy starts, you know, hulking out towards.
Yeah, he becomes the good guy, and heel turns the opposite.
Yeah. So we can see this for Cordelia. Like, was she a real heel though?
Yeah,
she was kind of a bad guy. Yeah,
she wasn't full on evil. She was a heel,
a mean girl.
Yeah.
She was a heel throughout the first season, and I don't Apex see her. She's not a full-on white meat baby face yet. I see she's a face, but she's closer to the tweener part of it. That she's like a full-on white meat baby face would be like a John Cena, and she's not.
Yeah, so she started as heel, and she's moving a little bit towards tweener.
Wait,
no, she's like crossed the face threshold.
Hold on. Are these like
she's
actual wrestling terms?
Yeah.
Do people like in all seriousness call him like a baby face?
John Cena?
That's the term.
Yeah.
Yeah, like good guys are baby faces, bad guys are heels.
Okay. Yeah. I only knew the heel term. I didn't know about the whole. Okay, interesting.
Their faces, but the full term is baby face. But, like, she never went, like, in wrestling terms, she did a face turn. But she's not the full, you know, John Cena would be the ultimate white meat baby face.
She's not telling people to eat their vitamins.
What the fuck does the white meat mean, though? Like, what?
It's like pure, just like pure, like.
Like, are you talking about
his skin color? Like, No. Okay, let's put it this way. Are you familiar with
you're, like, adding adjectives to each one. Like, he's like, the scrumptious white meat baby face.
Okay, like, it's like, if you've seen the MCU.
I'm picturing a rotisserie chicken right now.
Yeah. If you've ever watched the MCU, Captain America, there's a reason they call John Cena Captain America. how much of a good guy Captain America is, like in the Marvel movies.
Oh, okay. That was the underwear.
That's, you know, like.
Yeah, no, that's white meat baby face right there.
Captain America is a white meat baby face.
All of my wrestling experience comes through playing WWE Raw on the Super Nintendo 64 as a child. Oh, wow. So no, I do not know any of this.
I trained in it for a few years, actually.
You trained in playing Nintendo?
No. Trust me, I'm not that good. I actually have a wrestling match on YouTube. I have a match on YouTube, and it's a horrible wrestling match.
We'll have to plug that in a bit. Okay, so anyways, Cordelia is getting better and stronger.
So she drives into the school, literally drives into the school. They get to the library, and there's just a giant tentacle. And the master is on the roof. So the Hellmouth is in the school. Sunnydale High is literally right on top of the Hellmouth.
Makes sense.
Yep.
The roof is on fire.
So when Buffy is resuscitated, she's like, I feel good. I feel strong. They get into hero formation and they march to the school to the theme song.
Which was awesome, by the way.
That is cool, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Doesn't being bitten make you a vampire?
No, you have to drink blood as well.
Oh.
So he didn't drink her blood when he bit her.
No, he drank her blood. She would have to drink his blood as well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was confused.
I had the same question.
Yeah.
But that scene of them walking through the campus of the school with a theme song while she's punching people in the face. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool. It might have been one of my favorite moments in the entire season.
Huh. I might have to watch this one.
So in the library,
Xander even looks badass for a second too. You're like, wait, what?
Everyone looks badass slow motion. Come on. But
especially when your show's theme song's playing. Like, it does not happen very often that the theme show of the show will happen within an episode.
Wow. Then you don't want to listen to ours. We're playing Neil Diamond right now.
It doesn't work. Most of the time it doesn't work. Like, for an example, one time it doesn't work I love Smallville. As somebody who's not a big super fan, love Smallville.
I imagine you're just going to stop there.
New tangent.
They play the theme song to the show, which is a cool song. On an episode of Smallville, as in the band is the band at prom. And I'm like,
meta.
I think it really depends on the theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Enterprise would be a horrible effing show to do the theme song randomly.
Yeah. Or like they did it in Blue Mountain State. The band Rev Theory that does their theme song played the song at a frat party. I'm like.
But you know who also did it? Buffy.
But it worked, though. It worked on this one.
Okay, so we get another fun Cordelia moment because they're in the library and they're trying to fight off the vampires and the giant underground tentacle monster and all of this. And a vampire reaches around and tries to grab Cordy and she bites his hand and she says, wait, yeah, let's see how you like it.
A vampire reach around?
I need
to watch this episode now. That's the only thing Jim heard was a vampire reach around. It's something about biting, which I guess is okay if you talk it beforehand, but I dig it.
Up on the school roof, the master is pissed that Buffy's alive. They fight. She tells him that he's got fruit punch mouth.
It's a good fight, too.
Yeah. She ends up throwing him through the sunlight in the roof onto a jagged piece of wood in the library. And there's like this dramatic CGI of his body dissolving and turning into a skeleton because he's a super old vampire. He doesn't just become dust. He becomes a skeleton. So there's like there's a soft piano version of the theme song as they're all kind of like standing around looking at him. Buffy seems kind of shell-shocked. You know, she's died. She killed the big bad for the season.
She's had a hell of a night.
Yeah. She calls the master a loser. And then they all go to the dance.
Yeah, they all go dance. Let's go to the bronze.
Do what?
Let's go to the bronze.
Let's go to the prom.
Okay, they still go there to dance. Let's after they go to
the mall. Yeah, dude, it's prom time.
They found those bodies.
Bro, they prom. Prom is, you gotta have your priorities straight.
Listen,
prom is top priority.
You know they've got the best insurance. Like,
come on, y'all go to the prom. You guys are good.
Jaws goes to the prom, by the way. He's like, hey, let's go dance. Like,
of course he does.
He might be a chaperone. I'll give him credit on that one. Okay, but I'm gonna guess probably not, because he's like, hey, like, I just went through all this shit too. I'm about to dance.
Remember, Jenny Calendar is part of this group now, and she is his age, and she's been flirting with him, so.
Oh, yeah. Do they have it? Oh, I guess I'll find out later if they have a thing. But, okay.
Don't spoil it. We love Jenny.
There's sparks.
We love Jenny. Jenny is a very popular side character.
All right. Well, that's season.
That's season one.
Oh, my God. We finished the season. Holy crud. Okay. I'm gonna wrap my head around this episode and the entire season arc. So we'll go with our super fans first, and then Trav and then myself. So Jess, what do you think about the entire season? What do you think about this episode? What would you rate it? Is this something that got you into Buffy? Did you like come out like in season three of something and go, well, I want to go backwards now?
So I give this episode itself a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
Because it's probably the best episode of the season. The whole first season, I feel like, gets more hate than it deserves. It's a shorter season. It has to work with that smaller budget. I think it sets some things up pretty well. The biggest downfall of the season for me is Xander is so tough to watch on screen. And he gets fleshed out better in later seasons. He grows, he matures. I'm not going to say he gets 100% better.
He does 1500 sit-ups a day.
Yes.
So he does grow.
So I like this. The first season I really truly remember watching was season 2. My aunt is a big fan of the show, and she had it all in DVD. So I remember watching it with her. I'm sure we watched season 1 together, but season 2 is what I really remember.
Her mic just unclamped from the table and just fell down.
And just all clamped her mic's a little bit harder. Hold on.
I got it, though.
Yeah, you did. You did.
But yeah, so that's what I really remember is that. The dramatic turn in season 2, Xander, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Do you need me to help?
Yeah.
No, I got it. Okay. Yeah, I remember that episode very, very distinctly. Mm. But yeah, somebody else talk while I fix my mic.
No problem. Right. So Xander, you're up anyways. So
yes.
What? Okay, this episode out of 5, how many do you give it?
I might actually have to give it a 5 out of 5 too. It's a very strong episode. And they knew, because I thought they did. I put it up there as one of the better season, now that we know it's season finales that I've seen.
Right.
Because we've seen some bad ones. This is actually one of the better ones I've seen. I put this up there with like season 2 of Arrow, the final episode of Scrubs. We don't talk about the season that came after that, but the actual final episode of Scrubs. That's a whole nother podcast.
This is the final episode of Game of Thrones.
I know people like to joke around that season 9 of Scrubs doesn't exist, but it really was supposed to be a spinoff show, so I think it's fair to not really count it.
This is someone who's a huge fan of Scrubs. Yeah.
I've never seen Scrubs. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic.
I've not watched it all the way through, but I know enough about that and the fandom to know that it's...
But this as a whole is the 5 out of 5 for the season finale. Obviously, I agree that the cringiest, weakest part of the season is Xander, and obviously he gets better. Specifically, the hyena episode, but we went into that into detail. And I like that they knew going in that, hey, this may be the only season of it. So I thought they closed all the plot holes and the loopholes. If this was the last episode of a one season show, I would have been happy.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, overall, this is a real, obviously as a season, even with the weak points, so many more strong points. And I like that even though obviously Buffy's the main character, there was moments throughout the season that Xander shined, Willow, Giles had his moments, even Cordelia, especially the last episode, Cordelia had their moments. They gave a chance. It was almost an ensemble cast, to be fair.
Hmm. Now, is this the first season you watched, Xander?
Did you watch season one first? I didn't watch it first run on television.
Okay.
Because obviously when we were growing up, we had one television and our parents, it was, you know, TV in the living room. We pick what we watch. Didn't get to watch Buffy. And it, I started it with season one on DVD, but I didn't get to go all the way through until much later. So I'm a second run Buffy fan. I didn't get to watch it as it happened.
Very interesting. And then Travis, because you started out with season one, besides maybe the one episode of six.
Yeah.
How do you like this episode and how do you find it overall?
I do like this episode a lot. It was nice seeing everything that was being, like all of the things that were being laid out leading up to this finally have payoff, and the payoff is entertaining. So I like it. I guess if I'm going to give it a rating, I would probably give this one a 5.2 out of like all of the other ones in the season. Season overall, it's good. I guess I don't know if you guys, since you guys are like more into like the whole fan base, like you guys have had discussions with other people, like is like the Monster of the Week format something that's like not common going forward? Like, do people not like it?
So going forward, so, you know, the Master was the big bad this season, but there were plenty of episodes that didn't mention him. Going forward, every season has a big bad, and a lot more episodes like will have a Monster of the Week situation, but they'll also tie into the big bad a lot more. And I think it's also just that the production value and everything goes up so much in other seasons that people are comparing later seasons to season one.
Okay.
Well, and I think it's unfair hate based on that.
Okay. Cause yeah, as somebody who's only watched season one, I like the Monster of the Week format. You know, it's nice. Like, it's a nice little, they have a nice setting to explore all kinds of different things, like, you know, just, I don't know, they can go like so many places with it. But
but guess who shows up in season two though?
Do I need to
the
be
master? Surprised?
No, it's somebody you're familiar with the character's name.
Okay. Spike.
Yes.
Okay.
We're gonna get some Spike action in season two.
Well, okay.
We love Spike.
Include my thoughts.
That's who that was.
I liked it. It definitely has its weak points. You know, I'm not like at like, you know, super fan status with this. I'm enjoying it. I'm curious to see where it goes. I know you guys already have like your own like pre-established relationship with Cordelia. I'm not buying it yet. You guys can say like it happened like naturally over the season. It didn't. Like she like was like stone cold bitch episode one. The next episode she's talking to them like it's all like she doesn't want to talk to him one episode, and the other one she's like, oh, okay, we can have a conversation now. I'm not buying it, and maybe it gets better going on, but you know, I want them to be able to build off of, they have a good foundation here, so I'm excited to see like the coming seasons because they can build off of that. They can make it like a little bit more organic if they have more wiggle room. You know, obviously the budget was an issue with some things because the looks of some stuff didn't necessarily look good, but I give it a pass because it's like 90s television budget. So,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, now for my own self, because this is the first time you watched this, Travis, if I only wanted to watch one episode of this season, would it be the finale?
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one to just jump into immediately because it really hinges on you having all this knowledge that they have set up beforehand. So it's an enjoyable episode. I think if you watched it, you would probably be like, hey, like, this is interesting. I would at least like want to get some background info so you could maybe like start from the beginning.
Yeah, it would be like if you watched the last episode first, it's like, once again, I go back to the MCU because I'm a huge Marvel fan. It'd be like watching Endgame as the first movie.
Yeah.
Endgame's one of my favorite movies. Yeah, I mean, Endgame's one of my favorite movies, but I'm just like, and it's an awesome movie. It's in my top five, but if you've never seen the other movies, you're just like, this is kind of confusing a little bit.
I watched Endgame without watching Captain Marvel, I think, and I did okay.
Well, I mean, I watched Captain Marvel's not a big thing, but
right. Yeah. Oh, actually, and I didn't watch Thor Dark World or what, the second Thor movie, because that shit sucked.
But it'd be like going into.
I feel like you can watch Ragnarok and ignore the other two.
Yeah, you can.
Ragnarok.
That's what I did.
Well, I mean, some of them. I mean, for the most part, it's like instead of going, I'm going to start with Iron Man 1 and go in through into Endgame. It's like I'm going to watch Endgame as the first one out of any of the Marvel movies.
Really?
But
yeah, it's a great movie. Awesome movie. But if you don't know the stakes or don't know who's this, why's this, what's going on, you may be a little lost.
Now,
if I were to pick a favorite episode, though, I would pick the one that would actually get me the most into the series. I would pick the one where they have the nightmares brought to real life. That was my favorite episode.
Episode 10.
Yeah.
Episode 1000. Okay, I think that. And then just from outsider, you know, I've been listening to this. And okay, so I kind of see the appeal of Buffy. I kind of see the start of something good. I would be interested in knowing more, not interested enough to actually be watching it though. I'm interested in knowing more about it as it unfolds. I kind of see why it would have a cult following at this point. The movie, I'm basing most of my information off the movie. I think even the movie is some sort of cult following, but this is like an entire, this is like the Harry Potter of that generation, right? It changed lives or something like that, according to people I see online. Is that a fair assessment?
I know of some people that know of the show and are huge fans of the show that initially were not aware that there was a movie.
Okay.
I mean, that was me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the TV show is more of a drama or a dramatic TV show. And the movie, which I enjoy the movie, is a comedy. And there's a whole tonal shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like 21 Jump Street. The TV show, which I grew up on, dramatic show, awesome show. The movies are comedies.
Well, yeah, by default, as times change, it was just like, wow, a 35-year-old Johnny Depp is a high schooler.
I honestly didn't watch the movie at a boycott for a long time until, because I grew up with the show, and I'm like, this was a show about them catching gangs and drug dealers, and you know, all the kinds of consequences. Yeah. And then you see the movie, it's like, and the only reason I watched the movie initially is that it actually is canon with the TV show.
See, and I was the opposite with 21 Jump Street, where I came into it knowing the movie and didn't know there was a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The TV show was what made Johnny Depp famous.
Okay, and now, see, I was the same way Jess was, but for Firefly. I didn't know there was a Firefly series. I watched, like, Serenity.
I've not seen either.
So you know there's some issues coming down it. All right. Cool. This is all very cool. And it's all very well worthwhile. Now, I have a question to you, the fans out there. Because if this format works, this is awesome. I had some fun. Hope you guys did too. And I think this could be expanded out to like Dexter, which, you know, New Blood is out. My theory for New Blood is Dexter's not the new blood. There's actually, it's very, 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 I won't spoil anyone. I have not seen screeners of it. I'm watching it naked with everyone else.
Naked?
with everyone else, yeah.
Does nobody else watch TV naked, or is that just me? Who else does it? Am I the only one that watches TV naked?
Well, who knows? Someone has to, but I want to say there's an absolutely thing once you see the twist of the season, you're like, oh, New Blood, right, get it.
Yeah, I've literally seen the first episode of the first season of Dexter.
See, that would be perfect in like True Blood and stuff like that. People that have, and even Game of Thrones, honestly, or Lord of the Rings when it first comes out as a TV show. It's horror adjacent enough for me. I think this is a good format because we get to learn something and we can see things as outsiders and try to convince people to watch a franchise that's long gone.
I love this show so much, but it is also very silly. And it also, you know, just like anything, does have its problematic aspects. So it's kind of nice to like talk about it with people who have different, less biased perspectives on it.
I think I think the X-Files would work as a in this format.
Plus, I just love explaining silly things to people who don't know what's going on. We do this with my mom whenever she visits. She watches us play Animal Crossing, and we have to explain different processes in it. And she's like, this game makes no sense. But she finds it hilarious. And you don't really realize how silly something is until you're trying to just explain it out loud.
I tried to explain Stardew Valley to my dad last week.
I have no, I know their words you both are saying. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my dad is not, he's kind of warmed up a little bit, but what's nothing to do with video games.
Oh, they're both video games. Okay.
Yeah. I tried to explain to him what Stardew Valley was. It's like, look, you can make milk and woo the town lady, and then you can go fishing, and then when the milk's done, you can make cheese. He's like,
so okay. Living on the farm? You guys,
no, because Stardew Valley is you inherit this piece of land from your grandfather, I think, and you make a farm.
I lived on a farm. It sounds just like living on a farm, but you don't get anything from it.
And you go to the town, and you can talk to different people in town, and you can, you know, go fishing. It's a fun game. It's a cool chill game, but it's basically if it's an old school gamers out there. It's,
thank you. Okay. Really, okay.
You get married, you have a baby. Like, this is all real, except you also fight ghosts and monsters. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like while you're making cheese.
Yeah.
So that's Stardew Valley. What's Animal Crackers or Animal Crossing or Animal?
The Sims, but with animals, except you're a person.
Yeah, it's kind of like Stardew Valley, but Nintendo made it.
But Nintendo made it. It's cute. You owe money to a capitalist raccoon.
Tanuki.
Yeah. Sorry.
You owe money to a capitalist raccoon?
Tanuki. Yeah. Yeah. Tanuki.
God bless you. What's his name?
Nook. Tom Nook. And you are friends with animal villagers, but you can also fish and collect insects and make.
What is happening outside? What the hell? Is it the mail truck?
It's a female truck, thank you. Actually, it might just be gender neutral. Just truck.
All of the dogs in the cul-de-sac are barking right now.
It's okay.
Oh.
We got to tell you to stop.
But yeah, it's I don't know. It's just a cute little game. You can buy coffee from a pigeon. A turtle takes you on a boat ride to Mystery Islands.
Like, you're the only human living with a bunch of animals.
Yeah.
Like living on a farm.
Yeah, I was saying, like, living on a farm. We're going back to the farm again, guys.
A dog is the resident experience manager. It's all fun.
You're right. When you explain games out loud, they start getting really weird. It's like, all right, back in my day, Tetris shapes came down. You just stacked them. You just fucking stacked boxes.
I mean, Tetris has even gotten more complex because now you can play online with 99 other people, and you can shoot out attacks at various different people. And
that's way too much.
Tetris 99 is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just like Far Cry 6. I just unlocked a unicorn, and I have a fighting chicken that fights next to me.
This is Far Cry. All right. So these are all our plugs today. We're getting sponsored by the farm company, apparently. Is there anything you guys want to plug at all for our last episode of the season, our finale for season one, Buffy? Invite me in. If I said the writing correctly, one day I will. Anything you guys want to plug, Jess, Travis?
I mean, we've got our show. What's your least favorite scary movie? We've got our website, what's your least favorite scarymovie.com. We talk about
The Witch.
What?
The Witch. I'm sorry.
What we do is, because we're both horror movie fans, but we have very different tastes in what makes a good horror movie. So we just kind of try and analyze why one of us does like a movie or why one of us doesn't. Or if we both like the same movie, we look at the different things that we like about it. So it's really kind of, the name is kind of tongue in cheek. It's
we're not talking about movies we hate.
Yeah.
One person does at least love the movie that we're talking about. So.
Yeah. It's more about the fact that the horror genre really has something for everybody.
Yeah,
I dig that. I can do that. Xander, what do you want to plug?
Well, I am on Twitch. We talked about video games. I'm on Twitch at Xander Invictus, which right now I am doing Far Cry 6. I'm actually probably a good 80% way through the game, so We do that 4 to 5 times a week. I have a project in the works for this website that I would like to start getting off the ground at the beginning of the new year.
Awesome sauce.
But, you know, the horror story we talked about, it's just real life has gotten in the way. And I am very close to also releasing my half pop culture, half wrestling podcast called Dropkicks and Attractions.
Nice.
The first two episodes are recorded. We're just trying to get the audio cleaned up right now. Basically, it's we talk about wrestling 1 week. We start in 93 because Monday Night Raw. And then alternate weeks with a movie or TV show that came out the same year, kind of showing how people may not realize how really tied together pop culture and wrestling is.
Nice.
So we're doing the first week of wrestling, which was the week that the Raw debuted. And then we've recorded the second episode where we actually talk about the Hulk Hogan cinematic classic, Mr. Nanny.
Oof. Hell yeah. Oof.
And you can you find out how you can see how why a guy threw a dog into the water.
Ah, well, someone has to. Is it a junkyard dog? Because that's all I know.
He wasn't in this movie.
Oh.
There are a lot of wrestler cameos in this movie, but he was not one of them.
I wonder if he was dead by then.
I don't think so. He had died, I'm going to say 94, 95.
That was a long, long time ago now. Very, very cool. I look forward to all your podcasts. And for myself, Jim Phoenix, I'm going to plug our new anthology coming out at the end of December, Hell is for Children, and all the money goes to We Are Lumos, the Lumos Project that helps, well, you know, children. So if you like kids or don't like kids and just think they should have a home that doesn't beat them, come check our anthology out. With that being said, for myself, Jim Phoenix, on behalf of my co-guest hosts, Xander and Travis and Jess, we bid you bye. Bye, everyone. Adieu. Support that. Congrats.